All right, there we go. Two changes to the agenda. The governance committee did not meet this morning. We'll defer that discussion about bylaw changes to a future opportunity. And secondly, there is a consent item on the agenda regarding the creation of a trust to carry the funds that we're setting aside for other post-employment benefits, OPEB. It's been requested that that be submitted through the Finance Committee for future discussion. I would hope as well that that future discussion would also focus on the issue of OPEB and how we should be dealing with that as other agencies and entities are. With the Supreme Court decision this morning that upholding the Affordable Care Act, I think all of us will need to be shifting more of the burden of retiree health care through that basis and not put it totally on the backs of government and private organizations. So a broader discussion, but also answering any questions that existed with respect to the trust. So those two items removed. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Approve.
All in favor? Any opposed? None. Hutchins, we need to certify the executive session that was held 2 weeks ago of the board.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board certify to the best of each member's knowledge and with no individual member dissenting that at the board executive session of June 12, 2015, only such matters as are authorized for discussion in an executive session under board bylaws, Article 10, and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive sessions were convened were heard, discussed, or considered by the board.
Second the motion. Any comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. The certification carries. We have a large number of minutes to approve, the public minutes of the May 28th board meeting and the minutes of executive sessions held in February, March, May, and June. I have a motion on block for the minutes.
So moved, Mr. Chairman, and April instead of March, yes.
Excuse me?
April.
Two in May and one in June. Is there a second? Any comments, questions, corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. We open a public comment. Mr. Sindrum? Senator, would you wrap up? You've had 3 minutes. Thank you, and I will call on the Accessibility Advisory Committee for their report.
Thank you very much for listening to me this morning. First thing I want to say is that we are wrapping up our FY15 accomplishments, which you'll get a report early in July on what we accomplished in FY15. I want to thank the board for putting the AAC back to full strength. We will have a full contingent of members, 21 of us, next month. I'm sure we'll keep them all busy. The particular projects that we report on every month, lighting and the bus stop projects, we have meetings set up throughout FY16. To ensure that those products are kept on track, and we also have the ability, particularly in the lighting area, to work with the disabled community to ensure that what gets installed as far as lighting upgrades are going to be looked at, particularly by blind and low vision groups. So we've got that in our 2016 work plan. So those projects will go on, and I think they're executing per a good schedule. What we have looked at over the last month, sustainability, particularly of the metro access system, particularly with respect to the cab services within the DC area, and moving those types of cab services for sustainability and taking pressure off the metro access system. Those have appeared to be working very successfully. People are very happy with them. They seem to be working very well. Moving them out to Virginia, to Maryland, and improving the return on investment, I think, is very important. It's something we're going to look at. We're going to get a lot more feedback on, but we will get more additional information on the sustainability of the metro access system. The electronic payment system was of much. We had a large discussion on that the other day, last week. Basically, want to make sure that people with disabilities are included in any testing on that particular system, ensure that accessibility of that system is viable, and people with disabilities can use that. In the past, we have been consulted with respect to that. Just want to make sure that with a large program like that, that the AAC is consulted. Also, we're seeing interest in mobile app development, and we want to ensure that as far as accessibility of mobile apps are concerned, particularly on the iOS devices, that the AAC is consulted also on mobility of apps. That's concerned. I think we've had a very good overall. I think we've had a very, very successful FY15. We have appreciated very much the staff support that we have gotten and help all the way through. We also appreciate your support, and we will be submitting our accomplishments for FY15, as I said, anything that comes up in FY16, particularly in the area of safety, anything that the AAC can contribute to improve that, we're happy to do that. Wanted to give a couple minutes to Phil, my right-hand man here, had some thoughts on the safety discussion that you guys just had, but most of my report is thank you for your support, and we're here to serve.
Not much to add, because it's just my first
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Can I just ask a question? In the pilot program that we're doing with Accenture, do you all have some of your members involved in the pilot program as volunteers? How many?
The pilot program with Accenture for?
The fair, the open fair system.
The fair system. I think we have about three or four, I was going to say, yeah.
Okay.
Two or three.
Are they able to give you all some recommendations that you all pass on to us, or is that later in the game, or what?
I have.
Good.
We do have a working relationship with them. I think we could get more people involved. We have specific requirements that they have a need for. I think that also, I think we could be a better use than we are. So if we get an Accenture point of contact, I think it would be something for me to bring up at our September meeting so we could, work directly with them. And that would be useful for us, and I think we'd be able to get very good input. Good.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Hermanson, the Riders Advisory Council. I wanted to thank you for joining us at the NTSB hearing this week. I hope you also helped bond with the learning experience.
I'll be pretty quick today. We also got word that at large. We also had a presentation from Bondorno at our last meeting, and you know, it was really good for the timeline. Most of us did know that not all of us understood as a connection to the initiative. I think this is impressive, well thought out plan, how it's going to go. I'm sure that we don't always have opportunities to have positive conversations. The better we can do is really trying to get our writers, the better off our behalf is trying to be. Probably a lot of people need to have some. We have some older because our meeting with the executive board is today, I'll wait. I think that's it. There is this report of this topic. Your question?
Yes, Mr. Bowser.
Same question. Do you all have volunteers in the fair the new fair payment pilot?
Yes, we have two. I'm one of them.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we, because of the requirement, but I'm not an everyday user of that path. And I thank you.
Before we move on, I just wanted to offer some comments with respect to safety and security, the issues that we went through this morning with Mr. Goldman, Safety and Security Committee. This was our initial review of the FTA's safety management inspection of Metro operations, especially those of Metro Rail. And the board fully appreciates the time that Federal Transit Administration has spent on this, the critical eye that they brought to the matter. Next month at this meeting, the Federal Transit Administrator is asked to join us and speak about what their findings were and how we work together to resolve the issues. We recognize that under FTA's safety authority, which was granted in the MAP 21 legislation, these are binding directives that they have issued. We must address them, and we as a board will use this opportunity to enhance our oversight of Metro safety performance. The findings and the directives must and will be implemented as speedily as possible. We're committed to responding to the FTA report within the 30-day comment period that they've offered. That's a chance to clarify any issues that were raised or to offer alternative solutions that will achieve the purpose. And then we deliver an executable corrective action plan within 90 days following the end of the safety review. That plan will form the basis of our continuing oversight of safety progress. The plan will build on what has been accomplished over the last 4 years. And both the FTA audit and the NTSB do take note of the many things we have done. They're the foundation for what we need to go further and do. Our plan will take account of some of the actions already underway, such as revising our standard operating procedures for smoke in tunnels and the mechanical protections on third rail jumper cables, but it will respond to the full range of FTA directives. When the Chief Safety Officer develops the full 90-day plan to address all bus and rail recommendations, the committee has asked that the staff present to the Safety Committee at its July meeting the recommended early actions and the beginnings of a consolidated schedule, it may not be completed till September, of how this work will be carried out effectively and completed. As the full plan is developed and submitted, the staff has been directed to develop a robust system of reporting progress to the Safety and Security Committee each month. This can be modeled on what's been done over the last year and following up on the results of the FMO audit, where much work has been done, but I think a lot of it depends on the fact that we have looked at it each and every month, what progress has been made, are there any issues that stand in the way of more progress. We need to do that. We also have been asked by the three transportation secretaries to schedule monthly reports at the Safety Committee by the Tri-State Oversight Committee with particular reference to the implementation of these corrective action plans. All of us in both the executive session and the public session commented on our concerns. I won't repeat those. We're all troubled by the description of the Rail Operations Control Center. We have heard that there many things are underway. It is a work in progress, but it is both the heart and brain of the rail system. It has to function with perfection. We want to see action on filling vacancies. We know that those vacancies exist primarily because management made a decision that more people would be needed, but people on paper are not a substitute for people at the control boards. All of the organization must turn to on this, human resources, training, and others to assure that we have an operations control center that works. I look forward to seeing the results of the APTA peer review with any observations they have about how the center can work better. We acknowledge the detailed analyses that have been accomplished through the NTSB's investigation. We all learned a lot over the last 2 days as the docket was opened up and as the back and forth between the safety board and the various witnesses occurred. We reiterate that Metro will continue its full cooperation until the root cause has been determined, and will continue to progress early action items and NTSB safety recommendations as they are issued. The board will adopt a fiscal 16 budget today that continues all bus, rail, and paratransit services without a fare increase, exercises the option for 220 new 7,000 series rail cars, and will have sufficient capital available to fund the work necessary to begin implementing all FTA and NTSB safety issues. As needed, the board will evaluate the need to reprogram operating funds if requirements under the FTA directives are to be met and if additional resources have to be provided. It's a major agenda for us. We also recognize and commend the interim leadership that Jack Requa has provided a steady hand at a very difficult time, focusing on budgets, on improved financial controls, on a strong fleet plan that will take advantage of the car purchase option, and on the implementation of the early safety actions. But while Jack's efforts have been extraordinary, the board also recognizes that an interim general manager is not a long-term solution. We've been sent again a letter from the three transportation secretaries calling for an action plan to be submitted by July 15th on how we will move forward to fill this critical vacancy, provide the leadership that we'll need for the long run to implement the safety recommendations, implement the budget, continue high-level service, and I look forward to putting that together, and we'll take steps today to restart that process. Thank you. That concludes my remarks.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the comments. I'd like to touch on a couple of the things that you did and add a few others. Again, this week, the National Transportation Safety Board held its hearing on the January 12th incident. As you discussed in greater detail during the Safety Committee meeting, the hearing carefully examined issues related to Metro's infrastructure, the emergency response effort, and our safety culture. For the family of Ms. Glover and for all of us, reliving the events of that day was difficult. However, the process is important to understand fully what happened to prevent it from happening again. This hearing was one step in that process. In the coming months, the NTSB will provide a final report with its findings of cause and new safety recommendations. In addition, the Federal Transit Administration released its safety management inspection findings for WMATA last week, as you've mentioned. The FTA made many important recommendations for improving Metro Rail and bus safety, which we have already begun addressing. It's also important to note that the FTA acknowledged numerous safety improvements completed by Metro over the last several years. Just to mention a few, initiating a first-of-a-kind fatigue management program for transit employees, establishing an enhanced roadway worker protection program, and developing an industry-leading program for confidential close-call reporting. We are now working to integrate the recommendations from the GAO, the FTA, NTSB, and anticipating more from the APTA peer review, and look forward to coming back to the board in public in September with a comprehensive action plan to create an even safer system. In regards to the 2016 budget, today we are seeking the board's approval for the amendment to the fiscal year 2016 to 2021 capital improvement program. The capital budget is focused on critical safety improvements, the continued rebuilding of the Metro system, increasing system capacity to support regional economic growth, and improving the effectiveness of the current rail and bus networks for Metro customers. The capital budget will also allow us to continue to focus on addressing NTSB findings as well as new FTA and NTSB recommendations following the January 12th incident. It will also allow us to exercise the option, remaining options, to purchase an additional 220 new 7,000 series rail cars, which will allow expanding service on the red line between Grosvenor Strathmore and Shady Grove by running all trains to the end of the line. Continuing the annual programs in the capital budget will allow us to rehab 12 stations, rail stations per year, and make improvements to 12 others, replacing needed buses and rehabilitation of others, and replacing metro access vehicles as needed. Ms. Hermanson, I just want to start our conversations on public information on the fare cards. Metro is also on track to eliminate the use of paper fare cards within the next 12 months, as more than 90% of our customers know the plastic smart trip card alternative is a far more reliable product without magnetic strip wear, wrinkles, and dampness hampering smooth passage through the gates. And the account-based cards can help you reload your card without waiting in line. With the board's direction, Metro has taken a series of actions since 2009 to incentivize and encourage smart trip use. Now, with the board's approval of the Title VI equity analysis and public participation input, we will begin working retrofitting the station's fare machines to allow the current machines to dispense smart trip cards. As the fare machines are retrofitted, paper fare card sales will end station by station. And by January 2016, we expect the retrofit to be complete and all paper fare card sales to end. Customers will then have another 6 months until the end of June 2016 to trade in any paper fare cards they may have and load the money onto their smart trip cards. The most important piece of this transaction, riders switching from paper to smart trip will save money. By purchasing a smart trip card for a one-time fee of $2, riders who previously used a paper fare card will reduce their fare by $1 per trip. They will also enjoy free transfers on Metro Bus and discounted transfers from Metro Bus to Metro Rail that are not available with paper fare cards. I encourage riders to get a head start on savings and trade in their paper fare cards now. We will be rolling out a customer information and marketing campaign in the coming months to prepare customers for this change and provide guidance on trading in their paper fare cards. The elimination of paper fare cards is an important step for Metro that will save us money spent maintaining the paper fare card system, and it will move Metro one step closer to its new next-generation payment system. Next week is the 4th of July. Before I would like to mention that on Friday, July 3rd, and Saturday, July 4th, Metro Rail and Metro Bus will run Saturday service levels. However, to accommodate the large crowds expected for the fireworks on the National Mall on July 4th, Metro Rail will provide supplemental service beginning at 2 p.m., ramping up to near rush hour service levels before and after the fireworks. There will be no scheduled track work anywhere in the system on the holiday. Parking will be free at Metro lots and non-peak fares will be charged. It's worth noting that as in prior years, Smithsonian Station entrance on the mall will be entry only at the conclusion of the fireworks. And with so many stations within walking distance of the National Mall, we encourage riders to use stations other than Smithsonian or Federal Triangle, which are expected to handle the heaviest loads. And we do hope that everyone enjoys the celebration this coming forth. For our employee spotlight, I'd like to recognize train operator Bernice Wilson. Mr. Wilson has been with Metro for 14 years, spending the past 12 years as a train operator. Earlier this month, on June 3rd, Mr. Wilson was operating a train on the Red Line, heading towards Tacoma Park Station. As he approached the station, Mr. Wilson noticed a customer standing on the edge of the platform. Mr. Wilson immediately slowed down, blew the horn as the customer jumped in front of the train. He then pushed the emergency stop button, contacted the Rail Operations Control Center, and applied the handbrake. Because of his quick action in this critical situation, the customer was uninjured and a tragedy was averted. Mr. Wilson happened to have a student operator on board with him that day. His actions demonstrated the focus and understanding of safety procedures required every day in the operator's cab. Today, we take the opportunity to thank Mr. Wilson for his keen observation and quick response to this incident. These traits serve him well as a Metro Rail operator, and we are proud to have him as our employee. Mr. Wilson, would you please come forward and join me and the chairman for a photo? Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Riefler. I'll now call on Mr. Evans for the report on the Finance and Administration Committee. And with respect to item B on that agenda, I will be deferring Mr. Costa to cast the federal vote. I'll be recused on that issue.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The following two actions were referred to the board at the June 11th meeting of the Finance and Administration Committee. First, the paper fare card elimination. Staff requested approval of the Title VI Equity Analysis and Public Involvement staff report and authorization for the staff to take further actions necessary to eliminate paper fare cards on Metro Rail. I'd like to move approval.
There a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Second, Mr. Chairman, amend the FY 2016 through FY 2021 capital improvement program. The staff requested approval of an amendment to the recently adopted FY 2016 to 2021 capital improvement program to support the purchase of 220 additional 7000 series rail cars. This amendment increased planned expenditures in fiscal years 2017 to 2021 by $430.6 million for rail car acquisition in CIP 0068 and by $206.5 million for rail power systems upgrades in CIP 0076. Committee then approved two further changes to the amendment. The first was an increase in planned expenditures in FY 2021 for rail power system upgrades by an additional $28 million to be funded by an equal amount of additional planned long-term financing. Second was the addition of language to the resolution to clarify that the elimination of the Grosvenor turnback would mean that all peak period red line trains would originate or terminate at Shady Grove. So I'd like to move approval at this time. Okay. Is there any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Back to you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Evans. Thank the entire board for, I think, a very important action on moving forward with both the purchase of the rail cars and an effective way to put them to work to serve our customers. And we'll be talking over the next few months on how exactly that will be done. We do not have a report from the Governance Committee. We do not have a consent item on the OPEB Trust, so we go to jurisdictional reports. Anything from District of Columbia?
No report, Mr. Chairman.
WSTC?
Two items, Mr. Chairman. I want to thank my colleagues for voting the budget resolution, which will end the red line turnbacks in summer 2018. This will be a big benefit for commuters in Montgomery County, both originating there or going there, as well as we believe an improvement in service in the district because it will result in less crowding on trains as they move from Western Avenue around through the district stations on the Red Line. Second, on a less happy note, I just want to observe Governor Hogan's announcement earlier this week of the very aggressive form of blood cancer that he is suffering from, a very heroic announcement, and that they will be starting chemotherapy sometime next week. I know for myself and all my colleagues on the board, we wish him well, and that he will hopefully recover as speedily as possible to be able to exercise his full exercise of his powers as governor. Thank you.
NVTC.
NVTC, but I'm a Fairfax County and regional person. I want to remind people that on the 26th of June, the World Police and Fire Games will come. This is a public safety Olympiad, and it will bring many, many folks to our region. And so we will be relying on the transportation infrastructure that support us every day to also support all of those visitors that come to enjoy the games. And we invite you to please come out and join us.
I believe the opening ceremonies are at RFK.
RFK. Yes. Thank you.
We'll all be watching very closely. From the federal perspective, I'd just like to report that the Senate Committee on Appropriations has marked up the transportation appropriations bill and has included the full $150 million for the PREA program that we rely on and the jurisdictions match. This sets up potential conference between a lower House number and a higher Senate number. We certainly will be urging the move to the higher level. The House, as I mentioned last month, has said their acquiescence in that will be dependent on our progress on a lot of fronts. So we need to be doing that to hopefully get a good outcome. I have no other federal matters. If there's nothing else to come before the board, I would adjourn the meeting, and we'd be going into executive session immediately.